Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Sorry about yesterday's episode. I was so tired. I think I might be maybe fighting off some kind of sickness or something. I don't feel sick, but I do feel very run down. So, I apologize for the lack of enthusiasm there. I feel like I'm saying that a lot recently, apologizing for general behavior. tough times over in my world. It's all good. Let's talk about book 5, chapter 1. The questions I asked you guys about book 5, chapter 1 of The Brothers Karamazov were, Alyosha reckons he doesn't believe in God. What the F? I added that last bit. I didn't really ask that bit. Chapter 2, what will Alyosha do to follow up with the captain, guy who wouldn't take the money? And question 3, what do you think of Lisa now that we have, as we get to know her better? I am a Norwegian said, ha! So, what pushed the captain over the edge was Alyosha's offer to give away his own money, or going to Katerina for as much as he needed, which shifted the situation for the captain as receiving something he was owed into the captain as a charity case. Also, she ejaculated in the midst of her mirth, wow, Garnet, phrasing. Yeah, in the... Wait, is that what it said on... I'm pretty sure it said something different in the chapter, in the edition we read. It's gonna be too hard to find it. Oh, maybe it did say that. Yeah, it's gonna be too difficult to find it. Oh well. But yeah, I thought the same thing. It made me chuckle a little bit. Why is Madame Holokov so against Alyosha and Lisa marrying? Good question. I thought she would be ecstatic. Does she view her daughter as being below Alyosha? Question 1, Alyosha reckons he doesn't believe in God. I'm not sure what he meant by saying that, but seemingly neither does he. It could just be the doubt that I imagine most religious people carry with themselves, and which tends to inflate itself in times of distress, or could it be the beginnings of some philosophical idea or point that he hasn't quite developed enough to articulate yet? Question 3, what do you think of Lisa now that we get to know her? Honestly, I like her more and more. This chapter flew by with how much I enjoyed Alyosha and her interaction. I was glad that they now seem to be on the same page, too. Pun not intended. Tekrific replied, saying, the impending death of Zossima and the abject poverty and humiliation of the captain and his family, the plight of the young boy and the whole business of his father and brothers, has shaken his faith. Injustice is often the impetus of doubt. The old theodicy problem rears its head again, but mostly I think it's the upcoming death of Zossima that shakes and frightens and angers Alyosha. I am a Norwegian said, I didn't consider just how much Alyosha is having the blanket pulled from under him. From every angle. It's easy to forget how much turmoil is around him from his calm and accepting demeanor. Gamayun said, I always figured it was because she thinks Lisa is too young. She calls it childish nonsense. Swim said that Mama Fishy had a different impression of Lisa, saying, I find her capricious, i.e. impulsive and unpredictable. Regarding Alyosha apparently not believing in God anymore, it's essentially a throwaway line that a young man would toss out to a young lady he is wooing, especially one coming from a monastery and is still a cassock. If I were a young lady in this situation, I would find it reassuring, and it would help assuage my doubts. Interesting. I'm not sure what is meant by that. Maybe, like, she would be worried that she's taking him away from his religion by courting him, and so for him to be like, yeah, you know, no, I'm really not that religious, maybe that's reassuring. Not sure. Anyway, there seems to be a lot of back and forth here. Ooh, it gets heated. A little bit of disagreement happening in the Hemingway List subreddit. I nearly said a year of war and peace. Man, it's April. You'd think I'd have that habit gone by now. I am Norwegian said, I didn't consider just how much Alyosha is having the blanket pulled from him from every angle. It's easy to forget how much turmoil is around him from his calm and accepting demeanor. That's an interesting point. There's so much happening to him. His family's falling apart. His mentor, Zosima, is dying. He's been bitten on the hand and all this stuff with the kid and that kid's family, which would have been quite upsetting as well. And yet, he's the calm in the middle of the storm. The eye of the storm. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Swim said the Mama Fishy, just to go back to that, said, regarding question two, what will Alyosha do to follow up the captain guy who didn't take the money? I don't know, but Alyosha demonstrates pretty high emotional intelligence and a forbearance that I think there will be smiles all around at the end. You reckon he'll figure it out? Soma Stars said, regarding Alyosha not being religious, or sorry, not believing in God, this is consistent with the description of Alyosha at the beginning of the book. He never joined the monastery because he was overly religious. He joined because he fell in love with Zosima and wanted to be around him. This is also why Zosima told him to leave the monastery after he dies. And regarding what Soma Stars thinks about young Lisa, I find myself continually thinking, well, she is 14, she acts her age. JMama8779 said, Alyosha was probably very eager for a model father figure. We know Fyodor is definitely not the man for the job. Zosima probably realizes this and knows the monastery is not where Alyosha ultimately belongs. As far as Lisa is concerned, do we know what her handicap is? I might have missed that one. To go along with your comment, yes, she definitely acts her age. This puts it in a bit more perspective. Somastar says she's partly paralyzed, and if I recall correctly, it was a recent thing from an illness. I vaguely recall there being hope she would recover when they visited Z for a blessing. Yeah. sorry, there were some other notes there that were completely aside. So I won't read that. She's partly paralyzed, and it's a recent thing. Yeah, I wish I knew what this was. Maybe, I think it's maybe spoilery to reveal it, and that's why no one says it. Because I know some people have read this book, and no one seems to be chiming in to say what it is. So, I guess it will be revealed. Starfall15 said, it is impressive that a young man like Alyosha can analyze and understand deeply the human behavior after one encounter with the captain. This is probably why Zosima wanted him to go and live life. He will be more useful to society than in the monastery, though his decision to marry Lisa seems a bit premature. She states her love for him, but it feels more like a crush than love so far. Probably that is why her mother isn't too happy about it. Laura Weistich said perhaps he does understand the captain, but it could also be, once again, the case of a character asserting something that actually is untrue. That has been a common theme throughout, and it keeps the reader from knowing what is going to happen. It's something I very much about the writing. Like? Dislike? You missed a crucial adjective there. It's something I very much about the writing. You either really like it or you really hate it. Hey, let me read that again. Yeah, I've got no idea whether you like or dislike it. Gamayun said, I see that comment, him not believing in God, as indicating his grappling with doubt in the midst of everything that's happening, especially with Elder Zosima, as has been mentioned. I get the impression that this is Dostoevsky putting a little bit of himself into one of his characters, which he tended to do. He was very devout, but still struggled with doubt at times. For the most part, I love Lisa. She's one of my favourite characters in the book. I've read it before, but I won't spoil anything in this sub. She's so fun in these scenes, and very much acting her age. Okay, interesting. I like her too, and I see her being, you know, I see why people are saying she's manipulative or dishonest, because she is kind of playing silly games. But at the same time, I just see them as, yeah, she's young, and she's awkward, and she's excited, and she's shy, and all these things that have ended up in her being, you know, kind of a little bit dishonest, but in a coy kind of shy way, I think. That's how I see it, at the very least. Alright, Book 5, Chapter 1 has now officially been discussed. And we're ready to move on to book 5, chapter number 2. Yes, book 5, chapter 2. Alright, this is book 5, chapter 2, Smerdyakov with a guitar. He had no time to lose indeed. Even while he was saying goodbye to Liza, the thought had struck him that he must attempt some stratagem to find his brother Dmitri, who was evidently keeping out of his way. It was getting late, nearly 3 o'clock. Alyosha's whole soul turned to the monastery, to his dying saint, but the necessity of seeing Dmitri outweighed everything. The conviction that a great inevitable catastrophe was about to happen grew stronger in Alyosha's mind with every hour. What the catastrophe was, and what he would say at that moment to his brother, he could perhaps not have said definitely. Even if my benefactor must die without me, anyway, I won't have to reproach myself all my life with the thought that I might have saved something and did not, but passed by and hastened home. If I do as I intended, I shall be following his great precept. His plan was to catch his brother Dmitri unawares, to climb over the fence, as he had the day before, get into the garden and sit in the summer house. If Dmitri were not there, thought Alyosha, he would not announce himself to Foma or the woman of the house, but would remain hidden in the summer house, even if he had to wait there till evening. If, as before, Dmitri were lying in wait for Grushenka to come, he would be very likely to come to the summer house. Alyosha did not, however, give much thought to the details of his plan, but resolved to act upon it, even if it meant not getting back to the monastery that day. Everything happened without hindrance. He climbed over the hurdle almost in the same spot as the day before and stole into the summer house unseen. He did not want to be noticed. The woman of the house, and Foma too, if he were here, might be loyal to his brother and obey his instructions, and so refuse to let Alyosha come into the garden, or might warn Dmitri that he was being sought and inquired for. There was no one in the summer house. Alyosha sat down and began to wait. He looked round the summer house, which somehow struck him as a great deal more ancient than before. Though the day was just as fine as yesterday, it seemed a wretched little place this time. There was a circle on the table, left, no doubt, from the glass of brandy having been spilt the day before. Foolish and irrelevant ideas strayed about his mind, as they always do in a time of tedious waiting. He wondered, for instance, why he had sat down precisely in the same place as before. Why not in another seat? At last he felt very depressed, depressed by suspense and uncertainty. But he had not sat there more than a quarter of an hour when he suddenly heard the thrum of a guitar somewhere quite close. People were sitting, or had only just sat down, somewhere in the bushes, not more than 20 paces away. Alyosha suddenly recollected that, on coming out of the summer house the day before, he had caught a glimpse of an old, green, low garden seat among the bushes on the left by the fence. The people must be sitting on it now. Who were they? A man's voice suddenly began singing in a sugary falsetto, accompanying himself on the guitar. With invisible force, I am bound to my dear. O Lord, have mercy. O her and on me. O on her and on me. On her and on me. That's exactly how the song went, by the way. The voice ceased. It was a lackey's tenor and a lackey's song. Another voice, a woman's, suddenly asked insinuatingly and bashfully, though with mincing affectation, "Why haven't you been to see us for so long, Pavel Fyodorovitch? Why do you always look down upon us?" "Not at all," answered a man's voice politely, but with emphatic dignity. Hang on, one second. With emphatic dignity, it was clear that the man had the best of the position and that the woman was making advances. "I believe the man must be Smerdyakov," thought Alyosha, "from his voice, and the lady must be the daughter of the house here, who has come from Moscow, the one who wears the dress with a tail and goes to Marfa for soup. I am awfully fond of verses of all kinds, if they rhyme," the woman's voice continued. "Why don't you go on?" The man sang again. "What do I care for royal wealth, if but my dear one be in health? Lord have mercy on her and on me. On her and on me, on her and on me, yeah. It was even better last time, observed the woman's voice. You sang. If my darling be in health, it sounded more tender. I suppose you've forgotten today. Poetry is rubbish, said Smerdyakov curtly. Oh no, I'm very fond of poetry. So far as it's poetry, it's essentially rubbish. Consider yourself, whoever talks in rhyme, and if we were all to talk in rhyme, even though it were decreed by government, we shouldn't say much, should we? Poetry is no good, Marya Kondratyevna. How clever you are! How is it you've gone so deep into everything? The woman's voice was more and more insinuating. I could have done better than that. I could have known more than that, if it had not been for my destiny from my childhood up. I would have shot a man in a duel if he called me names, because I am descended from a filthy beggar and have no father, and they used to throw it in my teeth in Moscow. It had reached them from here, thanks to Grigory Vasilievich. Grigory Vasilievich blames me for rebelling against my birth, but I would have sanctioned their killing. Me before I was born, that I might not have come into the world at all. They used to say in the market, and your mamma, too, with great lack of delicacy, set off telling me that her hair was like a mat on her head, and that she was short of 5 foot by a wee bit. Why talk of a wee bit, while she might have said a little bit, like everyone else? She wanted to make it touching, a regular peasant's feeling. Can a Russian peasant be said to feel in comparison with an educated man? He can't be said to have feeling at all, in his ignorance. From my childhood up, when I hear a wee bit, I am ready to burst with rage. I hate all Russia, Marya Kondratyevna. If you'd been a cadet in the army or a young hussar, you wouldn't have talked like that, but would have drawn your sabre to defend all of Russia. I don't want to be a hussar, Marya Kondratyevna. And what's more, I should like to abolish all soldiers. And when an enemy comes, who is going to defend us? There's no need of defence. In 1812 there was a great invasion of Russia by Napoleon, the first emperor of the French, father of the present one, and it would have been a good thing if they had conquered us. A clever nation would have conquered a very stupid one and annexed it. We should have had quite different institutions. Are they so much better in their own country than we are? I wouldn't change a dandy, I know, for three young Englishmen, observed Marya Kondratyevna, tenderly, doubtlessly accompanying her words with a most languishing glance. That's as one prefers. But you are just like a foreigner, just like a most gentlemanly foreigner. I tell you that, though it makes me bashful. If you care to know, the folks there and ours here are just alike in their vice. They are swindlers, only there the scoundrels wear polished boots, and here he grovels in filth and sees no harm in it. The Russian people want thrashing, as Fyodor Pavlovich said very truly yesterday, though he is mad, and all his children. You said yourself you had such a respect for Ivan Fyodorovich. But he said I was a stinking lackey. He thinks that I might be unruly. He is mistaken there. If I had a certain sum of money in my pocket, I would have left here long ago. Dmitri Fyodorovich is lower than any lackey in his behaviour, in his mind, and in his poverty. He doesn't know how to do anything, and yet he is respected by everyone. I may be only a soup maker, but with luck I could open a cafe restaurant in Petrovka, in Moscow, for my cookery. For my cookery is something special, and there's no one in Moscow, except for the foreigners, whose cookery is anything special. Dmitri Fyodorovich is a beggar, but if he were to challenge the son of the first count in the country, he'd fight him. Though in what way is he better than I am? For he is ever so much stupider than I am. Look at the money he has wasted without any need. It must be lovely, a jewel, Marya Kondratyevna observed suddenly. How so? Well, it must be so dreadful and so brave. Especially when young officers with pistols in their hands pop at one another for the sake of some lady. A perfect picture. If only girls were allowed to look on, I'd give anything to see one. It's all very well when you're firing at someone, but when he is firing straight in your mug, You must feel pretty silly. You'd be glad to run away, Maya Kondratyevna. You don't mean you would run away? But Smerdyakov did not deign to reply. After a moment's silence, the guitar tinkled again, and he sang again in the same falsetto. Whatever you may say, I shall go far away. Life will be bright and gay in city far away. I shall not grieve, I shall not grieve at all. I don't intend to grieve at all. Yeah! Then something unexpected happened. Alyosha suddenly sneezed. They were silent. Alyosha got up and walked towards them. He found Smerdyakov dressed up and wearing polished boots, his hair pomaded and perhaps curled. The guitar lay on the garden seat. His companion was the daughter of the house, wearing a light blue dress with a train 2 yards long. She was young and would not have been bad-looking, but that her face was so round and terribly freckled. "Will my brother Dmitri soon be back?" asked Alyosha with as much composure as he could. Smerdyakov got up slowly. Maya Kondratyevna rose too. "How am I to know about Fyodor Dmitri Fyodorovitch? It's not as if I were his keeper," answered Smerdyakov quietly, distinctly and superciliously. But I simply asked whether you do know, Alyosha explained. I know nothing of his whereabouts and don't want to. But my brother told me that you let him know all that goes on in the house and promised to let him know when Agrafena Alexandrovna comes. Smerdyakov turned a deliberate, unmoved glance upon him. And how did you get in this time since the gate was bolted an hour ago? He asked, looking at Alyosha. I came in from the back alley, over the fence, and went straight to the summer house. I hope you'll forgive me, he added, addressing Maya Kondratyevna. I was in a hurry to find my brother.
Ach!
As though we could take it amiss in you, drawled Maya Kondratyevna, flattered by Alyosha's apology. For Dmitri Fyodorovitch often goes to the summer house in that way. We don't know he is here, and he is sitting in the summer house. I'm very anxious to find him, or to learn from you where he is now. Believe me, it's on business of great importance to him. He never tells us, lisped Maya Kondratyevna. Though I used to come here as a friend, Smerdyakov began again, Dmitri Fyodorovitch has pestered me in a merciless way, even here by his incessant questions about the master. What news, he'll ask. What's going on in there now? Who's coming and going, and I can't tell him something more. Twice already he's threatened me with death.
With death?
Alyosha exclaimed in surprise. Do you suppose he'd think much of that with his temper, which you had a chance of observing yourself today? He says, if I let Agrafena Alexandrovna in and she passes the night there, I'll be the first to suffer for it. I'm terribly afraid of him, and if I were not even more afraid of doing so, I ought to let the police know. God only knows what he might not do. His Honour said to him the other day, I'll pound you in a mortar, added Maya Kondratyevna. Oh, if it's pounding in a mortar, it may be only talk, observed Alyosha. If I could meet him, I might speak to him about that too. Well, the only thing I can tell you is this, said Smerdyakov, as though thinking better of it. I am here as an old friend and neighbour, and it would be odd if I didn't come. On the other hand, Ivan Fyodorovitch sent me first thing this morning to your brother's lodging in Lake Street, without a letter, but with a message to Dmitri Fyodorovitch to go to dine with him at the restaurant here, in the marketplace. I went, but didn't find Dmitri Fyodorovitch at home, though it was 8 o'clock. He's been here, but he is quite gone. Those were the very words of his landlady. It's as though there was an understanding between them. Perhaps at this moment he is in the restaurant with Ivan Fyodorovitch, for Ivan Fyodorovitch has not been home to dinner, and Fyodor Pavlovitch dined alone an hour ago and is gone to lie down. But I beg you most particularly not to speak of me and of what I have told you, for he'd kill me for nothing at all. Brother Ivan invited Dmitri to the restaurant today, repeated Alyosha quickly. That's so. The Metropolis Tavern in the marketplace. The very same. "That's quite likely," cried Alyosha, much excited. "Thank you, Smerdyakov, that's important. I'll go there at once." "Don't betray me," Smerdyakov called after him. "Oh no, I'll go to the tavern as though by chance. Don't be anxious." "But wait a minute, I'll open the gate for you," cried Marya Kondratyevna. "No, it's a shortcut. I'll get out over the fence again." What he had heard threw Alyosha into great agitation. He ran to the tavern. It was impossible for him to go into the tavern in his monastic dress, but he could inquire at the entrance for his brothers and call them down. But, just as he reached the tavern, a window was flung open and his brother Ivan called down to him from it. "Alyosha, can't you come up here to me? I shall be awfully grateful." "To be sure I can, only I don't quite know whether in this dress. But I am in a room apart. Come up the steps, I'll run down to meet you." A minute later, Alyosha was sitting beside his brother. Ivan was dining alone. Alright, there we go, another chapter down. That was chapter 2 of book 5 of The Brothers Kimura in the Northern of. Have your say about it over at reddit.com/r/thehemingwaylist. I hope you guys enjoyed my vocal singing debut there. I'm pretty happy with that. I didn't mean to blow your minds with it, but I may have. yeah, I was just thinking of Jack Black then for some reason. Cool. All right. Thank you for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.